There is no such thing as a slow week in college football. That's right. We got a lot of stuff to talk about. We're going to do it very quickly. This is the very fast reaction show here on Winning Cures Everything.
Bernie Marino is looking out for himself, not us. Marino is totally out of touch, and his company has a history of discriminating against its own workers. Marino has even faced multiple lawsuits for racial discrimination. One black man sued for being told, "You black men out there tried to hide your criminal records," and being passed over for less qualified white applicants. Marino has shown his colors. If he's elected senator, he's liable to rubber stamp Trump's radical Project 2025 agenda 100% and turn back the clock for Ohio. From taking away our overtime pay to gutting our public schools and rolling back our civil rights, we can't let Marino take us backwards. We can count on Sherrod Brown to continue doing what's right to protect Ohio's workers and families. Register to vote by October 7th at OhioVoterGuide.org and re-elect Sherrod Brown.
Paid for by AFSCME People, AFSCMEPeople.org, which is responsible for the content of this ad. Not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
Bernie Marino is looking out for himself, not us. Marino is totally out of touch, and his company has a history of discriminating against its own workers. Marino has even faced multiple lawsuits for racial discrimination. One black man sued for being told, "You black men out there tried to hide your criminal records," and being passed over for less qualified white applicants. Marino has shown his colors. If he's elected senator, he's liable to rubber stamp Trump's radical Project 2025 agenda 100% and turn back the clock for Ohio. From taking away our overtime pay to gutting our public schools and rolling back our civil rights, we can't let Marino take us backwards. We can count on Sherrod Brown to continue doing what's right to protect Ohio's workers and families. Register to vote by October 7th at OhioVoterGuide.org and re-elect Sherrod Brown.
Paid for by AFSCME People, AFSCMEPeople.org, which is responsible for the content of this ad. Not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
Can you believe it? It's football. I've been watching it for 40 years.
Are you kidding me?
You're listening to Winning Cures Everything.
Game day, baby. Wake up or get out.
Here's your host.
A confident young man. A superb athlete.
Gary Seegers.
All right, welcome in. Winning Cures Everything. And I'm your host, Gary Seegers, at GaryWCE on all the socials. And look, you already know, bettingcfb.com. You can become a member over there. Subscribe at Winning Cures Everything podcast, YouTube, etc. I appreciate you. Bet U.S. College Football Show, Tuesdays and Wednesdays, 1 p.m. Eastern Time. Okay. Let's go quick. Alabama, South Florida. Alabama 42-16 was the final. That is not indicative of how that game went whatsoever. The Alabama offensive line is an absolute wreck when they don't have Proctor or Pritchett in the game. Now, Elijah Pritchett came in the fourth quarter, and suddenly Alabama won the fourth quarter 28-3. This is what happens. There is no more depth. For these big teams, if you lose a key piece of your offensive line, of your linebacking core, of your defensive line, of your secondary, of whatever, there's not some five-star talented whatever to be able to come in that can play right away. So, now I will tell you this. South Florida, very aggressive, but they do have a lot of speed, etc. If Wisconsin tries to do the same thing that South Florida did, it's going to be a very, very long day for them. Alabama should have Pritchett back for next week. No problems there. They said that he could have played the entire ball game, but they were trying to keep him out. He had a minor injury in the game against Western Kentucky, so they were trying their best to not have to worry with it. But either way, Texas 31-12 over Michigan, and that was a complete debacle. Texas had 24 on the board by halftime. They realized very early that if basically, I think Bud Elliott said it best, you can script Michigan out of a game because that offense is atrocious. If Jack Tuttle does not come back and become the guy, Michigan is going to be in a whole lot of trouble. My Michigan minus 180 ticket that I gave out on BetUS to not make the playoff looks really, really, really good right now because they are going to have problems with a lot of teams in the Big Ten. I mean, it's just it's disgusting. But Quinn Ewers looked like a dude. That secondary, look, Blue, the running back for Texas, Texas is fine at running back. They ain't got no problems. No problems whatsoever. Penn State 34-27 over Bowling Green. And Bowling Green led for the majority of this ball game. Perfect letdown spot after winning at West Virginia last week. Right? It makes all the sense in the world. Penn State didn't look great. They still got dudes all over that field. They are built differently. But this is, you know, Ty and Dan have said this for over a decade. You got to win your clunkers. Notre Dame didn't do that, but we'll talk about them in just a little bit. Oklahoma State, 39-31 over Arkansas. Arkansas outgained them by like 300 yards and lost the game. Went to two overtimes. There was a bad call by the ref. This was the Bobby Petrino special. And we thought that we were going to get some fireworks in this game because, of course, Mike Gundy against Bobby Petrino was a lot of fun. Ollie Gordon didn't look good really until second half and really late second half. Arkansas, they're going to give some teams trouble this year. This offense is something. And it's, you know, Talen Green, yeah, he's going to make bad decisions, and he's not ready for the SEC per se, but he is going to be a lot of fun. So I can't wait to see exactly what Arkansas does, who they end up beating, because they're going to beat somebody that they're not supposed to. That's just the Sam Pittman way. But Pittman, I mean, some of the stuff that happened in that game, he'll probably end up losing his gig eventually. Kansas State, 34-27 over Tulane. Tulane led for the majority of this ballgame. But Kansas State, again, second straight week, didn't really do much designed run stuff with Avery Johnson, the quarterback. And we know what he's capable of because we saw it last year. But it feels like they're trying to save him for conference play. Now, does that mean that he's going to look pretty good against Arizona? Like, are they going to come out and do that in that game? Because it's a non-conference game. I mean, it's against a Big 12 foe, but it's a non-conference game. So, Tulane looks like they're going to be pretty good in AAC play. That defensive line is the business, as I like to say. They are legit. They are real. John Sumrall is a hell of a coach. I like Tulane quite a bit. Kansas State did what they had to do to get the win, and Tulane fans got to be so mad because they almost had Ole Miss last year at home, and they almost had Kansas State this year at home and could not get it done. So it is what it is. Syracuse, 31-28 over Georgia Tech, and Kyle McCord is an absolute boss. I mean, he has so much confidence right now, and that is the thing. You can enhance a player's performance just based on them being able to, but just in them feeling confident in themselves. And Kyle McCord fits this offense perfectly. It's like they tailor-made the offense for him. Granted, he's playing weaker competition than he did in the Big Ten. But, like, Georgia Tech has been pretty good. And that Syracuse defense did what they had to do to be able to slow these guys down. It was what it was. Notre Dame falls at home 16-14. Northern Illinois kicks a walk-off field goal. Thomas, man, I'm wanting to say Hampton. That's the quarterback there. God, Northern Illinois is going to shoot me. Good gracious. Regardless, Hammock. That's it. Thomas Hammock. There we go. I have caught a lot of flack because when he was 0-6 after the COVID year, like his second year there, I had this whole deal where I did not think that he was going to be able to get the job done for Northern Illinois. I mean, they believe in that program and they invest in that program, and they do not put up with losing the way that they have lost in some seasons under Hammock. But Hammock is an alum, and that is the biggest win maybe in MAC history. Going and beating a top five Notre Dame team in South Bend, that was huge. And I brought up on the BetUS show last week that Northern Illinois, I think, has a better offense than Texas A&M. Maybe not the pieces, per se, but like the chemistry and the way and they've got some good pieces. That Hampton kid can play. And that's the most yardage that Notre Dame has given up in a game since, I want to say, 2022. So basically in the last 2 years, I mean, just bananas. Northern Illinois is – I don't expect them to, like, be some, you know – G5 playoff contender or anything like that, but, I mean, that was a huge, huge win for them. Hopefully they can stay healthy, and they look to be a contender in the MAC. My MAC prediction, in case you guys didn't watch the video for that or listen to the pod, I predicted Bowling Green winning over Northern Illinois. So, you know, what are you going to do? Utah, 23-12 over Baylor. And I got to tell you, I was real worried about this one. I had Baylor plus 15.5. I gave it out on bettingcfb.com. I gave out Baylor plus 14 on the BetUS show. Cam Rising got hurt. It looks like he is probably going to play against Utah State next week. Who knows? Who freaking knows? Utah State looked terrible against USC. I probably won't even hit that. But, yeah, Baylor, like, they got some pieces. They got some dudes. They didn't look good early. They found a way to kind of fight and stay in this thing. It was semi-competitive in the, late second half. But, Baylor still got some stuff to work on. Iowa State 20, Iowa 19. We got to move to Sullivan. If you are Iowa, and I understand that Cade McNamara does the stuff that Ferentz probably really likes. He doesn't turn the ball over. But, man, just noodle arm. Like, hey, 99 passing yards on what, like 29 pass attempts, I think it was. That is terrible. Absolutely terrible. And it's, yeah, their wide receivers are not good. But, like, I thought that Lester had kind of opened that offense up a little bit. And they had found some different things that they could do. But they might have just worn out whoever it was that they played in Illinois State or something. They might have done that in week one. They might have just worn them out and then put up a bunch of points in the second half. But still, to not be able to score any points in the second half here was just a debacle. I mean, they got destroyed, and that defense got found out. Iowa State quickly found out what was up, and they found a way to keep that thing rolling. I mean, incredible sequence towards the end of the game. Hit, I believe, a running back on a fly route. I mean, just on a wagon route coming out of the backfield. Got down into field goal range. I mean, they just – and to hit the field goal, like, in an opponent's home stadium. And what, I mean, it was just – that was incredible. Absolutely incredible. Cheers to Iowa State. What a win for Matt Campbell. I mean, that was huge. Louisville 49-14 over Jacksonville State. Jack State looks like they are in trouble, like real, real trouble. And Louisville might be pretty good, so long as they stay healthy. I'm telling you, I mean, that quarterback fits perfectly in that system. Tyler Shuck, they got dudes at wide receiver, even though they lost Lacey for the year. I think Louisville's going to be pretty good. I cannot wait to see them go to Notre Dame. Cannot wait. Ole Miss 52-3 over Middle Tennessee, about what we expected. Middle Tennessee is just not good. Miami 56-9 over Florida A&M. Cam Ward keeps putting up Heisman numbers. Missouri 38-0 over Buffalo. Illinois beat Kansas 23-17. Jalen Daniels could not figure them out. Illinois was disguising coverages, and Luke Altmyer and the running back there did some pretty awesome stuff. But, man, I'm telling you, that Franklin kid, Zachary Franklin, that came from UTSA, then went to Ole Miss, didn't play at Ole Miss, now transferred over to Illinois with his former offensive coordinator, Barry Lunney. Illinois, everybody expected them to be really, really bad. Their win total was 5.5. This is one that they really needed to be able to get over that 5.5. That looks like a pretty good team. Kansas is going to have an interesting year, because I think they're going to be able to outscore some of these Big 12 teams, but also defense has got to do something. And Jalen Daniels, I mean, remember, he hadn't really played in a year, right? So we got to see what he's going to do. Ohio State came out and looked significantly better against Western Michigan than they did against Akron. 56-0, I think. Yeah, they whooped them. Tennessee, 51-10 over NC State. This Heupel offense is insane with Nico Okorie. He is like the perfect, the prototype for a Heupel offense. And on top of that, they got good running backs. Their offensive line looks to be pretty good. And their defensive front seven almost makes it where you don't even notice that the secondary has some weaknesses. right? I mean, that is insane. So, yeah, Tennessee 51-10 over NC State was a complete debacle. Just unreal. And so, yeah, is what it is. LSU 44-21 over Nicholls, and this was a tight ball game. I mean, it was really, really tight. Did not expect them to have to do this, but, you know, it is what it is. Garrett Nussmeier did have 6 touchdowns in the game. He had 302 yards passing on 27 out of 37 attempts. But running the ball, they ran the ball 21 times for 64 yards against Nicholls. Like, they could not get anything going on the ground.
At Kroger Pharmacy, care is making it easy to get vaccinated. Care is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. Care is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
Bernie Marino is looking out for himself, not us. Marino is totally out of touch, and his company has a history of discriminating against its own workers. Marino has even faced multiple lawsuits for racial discrimination. One black man sued for being told, "You black men out there tried to hide your criminal records," and being passed over for less qualified white applicants. Moreno has shown his colors. If he's elected senator, he's liable to rubber stamp Trump's radical Project 2025 agenda 100% and turn back the clock for Ohio. From taking away our overtime pay to gutting our public schools and rolling back our civil rights, we can't let Moreno take us backwards. We can count on Sherrod Brown to continue doing what's right to protect Ohio's workers and families. Register to vote by October 7th at OhioVoterGuide.org and re-elect Sherrod Brown.
Paid for by Ask Me People, AskMePeople.org, which is responsible for the content of this ad, not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
Bernie Marino is looking out for himself, not us. Marino is totally out of touch, and his company has a history of discriminating against its own workers. Marino has even faced multiple lawsuits for racial discrimination. One black man sued for being told, "You black men out there tried to hide your criminal records," and being passed over for less qualified white applicants. Moreno has shown his colors. If he's elected senator, he's liable to rubber stamp Trump's radical Project 2025 agenda 100% and turn back the clock for Ohio. From taking away our overtime pay to gutting our public schools and rolling back our civil rights, we can't let Moreno take us backwards. We can count on Sherrod Brown to continue doing what's right to protect Ohio's workers and families. Register to vote by October 7th at OhioVoterGuide.org and re-elect Sherrod Brown.
Paid for by Ask Me People, AskMePeople.org, which is responsible for the content of this ad, not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
All right, my Zoom device went dead. Got to charge the batteries, of course. All right, so let's continue on with the rest of the top 25. Oklahoma 16-12 over Houston. That was just gross, right? Just Oklahoma should be better than that. Houston outgained them 318-252. Oklahoma could not run the ball on them, and UNLV made Houston look terrible. Did that have anything to do with Houston prepping for Oklahoma? I wouldn't think so, but this is not what you want to see if you're Oklahoma with Tennessee coming up in just a couple of weeks, especially after what we've seen Tennessee do. That has been just crazy. Clemson 66-20 over App State. The total on this was 52. Clemson, I mean, they had the total covered by the end of the first half. I mean, this was something. Clemson put up 712 yards of total offense, and Cade Klubnik, 24 out of 26, 378 yards, 5 touchdowns. This goes to show that he might be okay, and Georgia's defense is just absurd. Like, this is what the data points are for, right? When we are talking about gambling on college football, we are trying to figure out exactly how a team stacks up against another team. We want as many data points as possible. You only get 12 of them a year before you get into the postseason. So you want to make sure that you know everything you can about these teams. Cade Klubnik could destroy App State. They could destroy other teams in the ACC, but when it came to Georgia, that was just a whole different deal.
Oregon, 37-34 over Boise State, and had to kick a last-second field goal in order to win this one. Boise put up 14 in the fourth quarter. This thing was haywire. I mean, it was 20-14 Boise at the end of the first half. This was it's just more of the same. Like, Boise State was able to do this without Maddox Madsen going crazy. 17 out of 40 passing for 148 yards. He only had one touchdown. But Ashton Jeanty, that running back, he's probably going to be at the Heisman ceremony because he 25 carries for 192 yards against that Oregon front. He had three touchdowns in this game, and that's after going for nearly 300 yards last week against Georgia Southern. This was wild. Dylan Gabriel, 18 out of 21, 243 yards, two touchdowns. He was fine. Jordan James, the running back, 17 carries, 102 yards. The biggest thing was that the Oregon defense gave up 369 total yards, and that offense could not get going against a not great, really, not great Boise defense. So, interesting to see what Boise is going to end up being in the Mountain West, but they look pretty good thus far. It's everybody's been able to score on them so far. Georgia Southern and Oregon. Now, those are two pretty high-powered offenses, so we'll see. Arizona 22-10 over Northern Arizona. Again, Arizona was down 10-6 at the half and kind of pulled away a little bit later. But this, it's more proof that you cannot take anybody lightly. It's like Alabama. It's like Notre Dame. It's South Carolina against Old Dominion. Just insane. Like, who knows what Arizona we're going to get next week when they play at Kansas State. Who knows? USC 48-0 over Utah State. I mean, this was a complete debacle. It was 27-0 at the half. There was never a chance. This USC defense could be legit. Utah State only 190 yards of total offense, 87 rushing, only 103 yards passing for Utah State. That's going to be very tricky, I think. Very, very tricky. Let's look at some SEC teams. A&M, Georgia, you know, Florida, et cetera. They all handled who they were supposed to. Vanderbilt beat Alcorn State 55-0. Anytime that Vanderbilt beats anybody that bad, you got to pay attention. And now Vandy only one win away from going over their 2.5 win total. Arizona State 30-23 over Mississippi State. That game, State finally figured out how to attack that defense in the second half. But I mean, this thing was 27-3 at the half. I mean, it was never in doubt. It didn't feel like anyway. And towards the end, I mean, you started thinking, yeah, if something goes a little crazy here, maybe. But it is what it is. South Carolina did not look good against Old Dominion last week. Should have lost to Old Dominion at home. Went on the road and beat Kentucky like a drum, 31-6. I mean, this was a disaster. Lenora Sellers, 11 out of 15 passing, 159 yards, two touchdowns, one pick. Raheem Sanders, I mean, Rocket Sanders, 13 carries, 54 yards. Robbie Ashford, 6 carries, 26 yards. I mean, South Carolina looked good. And the offense was not great. Don't get me wrong. This was not a good football game. But, man, Kentucky's offense, Brock Vandegrift, 3 out of 10 passing, 30 yards, one pick. Gavin Wimsett, 3 out of 7 passing, 14 yards, one pick. They ran the ball 46 times for 139 yards. That's only 3 yards per carry. I mean, Kentucky could not get anything going at all. Auburn got beat at home by Cal, 21-14. And that, and there are people that want to complain about Auburn not going and finding a better quarterback because Peyton Thorne had 4 interceptions in this game. Only 1 touchdown, 4 interceptions. He was 14 out of 27 passing, 465 yards. It's not that Cal was, like, great. Fernando Mendoza, 25 out of 36, 233 yards, 2 touchdowns. Jaden Ott, only 10 carries for 11 yards, but Javion Thomas was 8 carries for 53 yards, had a long of 32, had that touchdown. Chandler Rogers, the backup quarterback, 2 carries, 14 yards. Fernando Mendoza, 5 carries, 12 yards. I mean, it's not that Cal was great, right? 334 yards of total offense. Auburn ended up having 286. It was just the turnovers. 5 turnovers for Auburn. Cal held on to the ball for 35 minutes and 16 seconds. Had more penalties, 11 penalties for 77 yards. People want to talk about how Auburn should have gone to get another quarterback aside from Peyton Thorne. Auburn's offensive line could not handle Cal. They could not handle their defensive line. It was a disaster. So I don't fully get why people would think that they need to go get another quarterback, because what they need is more offensive linemen. They really need to work on rebuilding that entire team. So I get why they didn't go and pay a quarterback, because how do you know you're going to be able to keep him upright? I mean, it's just nuts. Moving over to the Big Ten, Nebraska 28-10 over Colorado, and Nebraska was up 28-0 in this game, and Colorado never tried to run the ball. Nothing. Nebraska set it up for them, dared them to run, and they wouldn't do it. Like, would not do it. They ran the ball 22 times. 8 of those were Shedeur Sanders, and the majority were sacks, right? Dallin Hayden ran 5 times for 32 yards, had a long of 17. Isaiah Augustov, 2 carries for 6 yards. Charlie Offerdahl, 4 carries, 4 yards. Ryan Staub, 3 carries, 4 yards. Like, Shedeur Sanders dropped back to pass 38 times. Ryan Staub passed twice. By the way, Staub did not complete a pass. Nebraska on the other side, Dylan Raiola, 23 out of 30, 185 yards, 1 touchdown, made it very, very simple for him. Did not ask him to do too much. It was great. It was great. They ran the ball 35 times for 149 yards. It was exactly what they needed to do. Exactly what they needed to do. Wisconsin beat South Dakota 27-13. You know, it was 17-3 at the half, 14-0 after the first quarter. South Dakota came out and scored 10 points in the third quarter. That made it 20-10, and then they tacked on another touchdown late. But, you know, again, this was a 17-13 ball game at one point, and it was a look-ahead spot. What are you going to do? Michigan State looked pretty good against Maryland, 27-24. They got the win there, late win on that one. And I don't know what Maryland is. I worry. Eastern Michigan stayed within the number against Washington. Washington has Washington State coming up next. You know, nothing too crazy. In the Big 12, Cincinnati got beat by Pitt, 28-27. Cincinnati was up in this game. Let's see. At one point, I'm trying to see if I can find exactly what that number is. But they were up big. Here we go. 27-6 with 4:50 left in the third quarter. They should have won that game. But Pitt, with that new offense, do it to it. So Pitt comes back, gets the win, late field goal, 28-27 on that one. UCF just destroyed Sam Houston, 45-14. Not even worth talking about. Washington State, 37-16 over Texas Tech. And this Joey McGuire thing is interesting. There was no Taj Brooks in this game, but how much is a running back really worth? Baron Morton, 34 out of 58 passing, 323 with 1 touchdown, 2 picks. At Washington State's offense, like, I don't fully understand it. John Mateer, the quarterback for Washington State, 9 out of 19 passing for 115 yards, 1 touchdown, 1 pick. That's not great. But he ran the ball 21 times for 197 yards and a touchdown. Like, they ran the ball for 301 yards in this game. Like, Washington State did it up. It was just awesome for them. The ACC, you know, we already talked about Syracuse. Boston College continues to do crazy things. North Carolina 38-20 over Charlotte. Virginia Tech 31-14 over Marshall. You know, Virginia was maybe the most interesting game of the night. Virginia Wake Forest, the Wahoos get the win, 31-30. And look, Anthony Calandria, 33 out of 43, passing, 357, 3 touchdowns, 2 interceptions. Like, some whoopsie daisy plays, as Tom Fornelli would say. He's fun. He's a lot of fun. And so those late drives by Wake Forest, Hank Bachmeier just probably ain't it. I think that's the nicest way to say it. Troy gets beat by Memphis, 38-17. Memphis, you know, looking ahead to this matchup coming up this week, and they're playing Florida State. It should be interesting. East Carolina 20-14 over Old Dominion. Arkansas State 28-24 over Tulsa. Other interesting things: UAB went to Louisiana Monroe and got shellacked, 32-6. That Louisiana Monroe roster is not good. This was the game that Trent Dilfer got fired, right? This is, and it's, it won't happen until the end of the year. May not happen until next year. But this is the game where you knew that he ain't going to be able to get it done. If you can only put up 6 points on Louisiana Monroe, that is a problem. Absolute problem. As far as team stats go, UAB only 259 yards of total offense. They ran the ball 35 times, only had 92 rushing yards against Louisiana Monroe. That team in Monroe was fired up for Brian Vincent. And good for him. Good for him, good for them. Texas State 49-10 over UTSA. Oh, I mean, Texas State, they did not look good, like, at all. Like, at all. UTSA without Frank Harris is, that looks to be a debacle. But Texas State didn't look good against Lamar last week. They were holding out everything. Everything. So, I think we're going to wrap that up. That's plenty to talk about. But we've hit on a lot of stuff today. Longer than I anticipated, really. So, go ahead. Go to winningcureseverything.com. Go over to bettingcfb.com and become a member over there. And if you haven't already, subscribe to the show. I would certainly appreciate that. But let's get out of here. You guys make sure and check out the BetUS College Football Show, Tuesdays and Wednesdays, 1 p.m. Eastern Time. And, yeah, I don't think there's anything else that I need to say. Oh, Three Dog Thursdays on Thursdays. That's the best way to go about it. Best way to go about it. All right. Subscribe to the pod. Leave a nice 5-star review. I would certainly appreciate that. With that said, take care of yourself. Take care of each other. God bless college football. And hopefully, all of your tickets cash this week. Thanks for listening to Winning Cures Everything. Make sure and subscribe on YouTube or your favorite podcast app. And make sure to leave a nice 5-star review. You can follow Gary on Twitter, @GaryWCE. And the show is @WinningCures. Be sure to check out the merch in our web store and share the show.
Bernie Marino is looking out for himself, not us. Marino is totally out of touch, and his company has a history of discriminating against its own workers. Marino has even faced multiple lawsuits for racial discrimination. One black man sued for being told, "You black men out there tried to hide your criminal records," and being passed over for less qualified white applicants. Marino has shown his colors. If he's elected senator, he's liable to rubber stamp Trump's radical Project 2025 agenda 100% and turn back the clock for Ohio. From taking away our overtime pay to gutting our public schools and rolling back our civil rights, we can't let Marino take us backwards. We can count on Sherrod Brown to continue doing what's right to protect Ohio's workers and families. Register to vote by October 7th at OhioVoterGuide.org and re-elect Sherrod Brown.
Paid for by AFSCME People, AFSCMEPeople.org, which is responsible for the content of this ad, not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
Bernie Marino is looking out for himself, not us. Marino is totally out of touch, and his company has a history of discriminating against its own workers. Marino has even faced multiple lawsuits for racial discrimination.
One black man sued for being told, "You black men out there tried to hide your criminal records," and being passed over for less qualified white applicants. Marino has shown his colors. If he's elected senator, he's liable to rubber stamp Trump's radical Project 2025 agenda 100% and turn back the clock for Ohio. From taking away our overtime pay to gutting our public schools and rolling back our civil rights, we can't let Marino take us backwards. We can count on Sherrod Brown to continue doing what's right to protect Ohio's workers and families. Register to vote by October 7th at OhioVoterGuide.org and re-elect Sherrod Brown.
Paid for by AFSCME People, AFSCMEPeople.org, which is responsible for the content of this ad, not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.